Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now it's out the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is, September the 3rd, 2024, is Tishri 1, 2028. This is a new moon Sabbath. We are going to start our first service today with a rod that speaks calls for a reformation and creates great controversy. One timely greetings, number 27, by the V.T. Holler, February the 8th, 1947. Our first thought for this new moon Sabbath is taken from Psalms 81. It says, sing aloud unto Yahweh, our strength, make a joyful noise unto the Yahweh of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the Yahweh of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony, when he went out through the land of Israel, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pot. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. Answer thee in the secret place of the thunder. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange Yahweh be in this, neither shalt thou worship any strange Yahweh. And the Yahweh that Yahweh, which brought the I am Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, open thy mouth, and I will fill it. Now, it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, Yahshua was that rock in the cloud that followed them in the wilderness and brought them out of Egypt. So the son of Yahweh was that rock in the cloud. So that's what David, he's here in Psalm 81, verse 10, he's very well acquainted with the son of Yahweh. That's right. But my people, verse 11, would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would not admit. Now this is Yahshua talking about them. He said that the people of Israel coming out of Egypt wouldn't hearken unto my voice. And they were introduced to him at the Passover to Yahshua coming out of Egypt. And when they were told to put that blood on the doorpost, so that they could escape out of Egypt, they come out by the blood of Yahshua. That's the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews chapter 10, the new and living way. So they were made acquainted with Yahshua. He said, that animal blood that you put on the doorpost represents the blood of Yahshua that's going to be shed for you in the future. He's here in person to lead you out of Egypt with Moses. That my people would not hear or hearken unto my voice, and Israel would not admit. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Now, isn't that something? Yahshua is telling them, if they'd only walk in my ways. Well, we know that they're in John chapter 14, verse 6. Yahshua says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How should they soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries? The haters of the Yahshua should have submitted themselves unto him. That their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with the honey out of the rock. And that rock out there represents Yahshua and the wilderness. I have satisfied thee. Now it says in Psalms 82, in verse 1, for the Yahshua, it says God here, but this is wrong. It says, for the Yahshua standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Defend the poor and flatter them. Do justice to the afflicted. And how needy, deliver the poor and needy, and them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. And this is Yahshua telling them, well, you all are deities. And there was a pagan term, God, here on earth. You are all the children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O it says Yahweh here, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all earth. This would be Yahshua. Arise, O Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, and judge the earth. For thou shalt inherit all things. Now it says out there in Hebrews. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, I believe. Let's go read it. About Yahshua inheriting all things. It says, Yahweh, Father, who at the sundry times and in the divers manner spake in the time past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on the high. Being made so much better than the angel, as he has by inheritance, Yahshua by his inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they, that's than the angels. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, And let all the angels of Yahweh worship him. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angel spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, Thy throne, O Yahshua, the Son, is forever. So Yahweh the Father is saying unto the Son, Yahshua, Thy throne, O Yahshua, is forever, and ever a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Now to back up that verse 8 I just read, of Hebrews chapter 1, we go to Genesis 49:10. For a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the children of the people be. Shiloh is Asherah. The scepter is the shepherd's rod. It's what the shepherds use to guide their sheep. The sheep are very familiar with that hook on that rod, at the end of that rod. Only with that hook met, means the shepherd could reach out and put that hook around their neck and direct them in the direction they really wanted to go. Pull on them. Okay, it says in Hebrews 1:9, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore the Yahweh, even thy Yahweh, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That's who we are, the house of David. And it took for Elijah David here. He said, Yahshua, his son, has anointed his servant and took for Elijah, Malachi 4:5, which is in the form of antithetical David. And thou, Yahshua, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth. Well, no. I should say, and thou, Yahweh the Father, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth their garment. And as a vessel shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be a chain. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But unto which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool? And that is, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth a minister for them who shall be heirs of the salvation? Okay. So those angels in heaven were created for one purpose. They were ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs, inheritors of salvation. And how do you inherit salvation? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Asher, Hebrews chapter 10, the new and living way. Faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Asher. Read Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 12, the whole chapter. Okay. I feel impressed to go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed unto the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the reward, How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? At the first began to be spoken by the Yeshua, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. All right. For the Yahweh also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according unto his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection, unto the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. That was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Thou hast put all things in the subjection under his feet, wherein that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. So every leader that he chooses in every generation, that the Father chooses, creates and sits upon the throne of heaven, that is set upon this earth, today is the throne of David. So he puts all things here on earth under his subjection. If you place him ruler, and that the ruler becomes 100% righteous, but then he puts all things under his subjection. But we see Yahshua, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of the death, crowned with the glory and honor, that he by the grace of the Father Yahweh should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation, perfect through suffering. For both he that's sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. Okay. Right here, so it says, for both he that sanctifies, that's Yahshua, he's the one that sanctifies his saints, and they who are sanctified, that's his saints, are all of one. They're all one. So if you become sanctified, then you become one with Yahshua, no matter what. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So if he can sanctify them by his blood, Yahshua the Son, then he's not afraid, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. To call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So what happened down at Kermit 2002? Yahshua came to the threshold of the house at the Passover. The 2002 at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. Brother Johnson, being the angel in charge of the 7th candlestick, led us there, the SDA. And he came there and he said, saying, I will declare my name. Well, we had just learned to adopt Yahshua's true name at Gilead Center. That was Yahshua. And that was his true name. He came there with that true name, saying, I will declare my name unto my brethren. So those that adopted Yeshua's name, once they learned his true name, That's the ones he's talking to. Brother Johnson wouldn't adopt it. He just played with it. He wouldn't adopt it. And so, you know where he's at today. He said, I said, I will declare my name unto my brethren in the midst of the church at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. Will I sing praise unto thee. Who's this thee? Antitypical Elijah David that took over and succeeded Brother Johnson in 2002, starting at the Passover. And again, I will put my trust in him. He says, now, again, I'm going to choose Elijah David, that's in the congregation at Gilead Center, 2002, to succeed as Brother Shelby Johnson, antitypical Esau. He says, and again, I will put my trust now in him. He said, I put my trust in Brother Johnson, antitypical Esau, for 32 years, from 1970 up to the Passover of 2002. He said, for 32 years, I put my trust in him. But he said, I'm going to choose his successor, Elijah David, and again, I will put my trust in him. Then he says, and again, behold, I am of the children which Yahweh hath given me. Okay, and so that would be the 144,000. He'd be the next one. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Alright? And deliver them who through the fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, okay, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, and things pertaining unto the Father Yahweh, for the making reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Oh, that's an awesome reading. That was a whole chapter, Hebrews chapter 2. Okay. Now let's go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, who was faithful unto him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Okay. So Yahshua builds the house. Alright. Who came along first? Making an offer to the prophet. He wanted to build Yahweh and his son Yahshua a house here on earth. It was David and the type, the one that killed Goliath. For every house is built by some man. But he that built all things is the Father Yahweh. And Moses really was faithful and all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after that Yahshua as a son over his own house. Okay, but the Yahshua as a son over his own house. And what is his own house? It's the antithetical house of David. It says so there in Luke 2:33. It says so in the prophecy of Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 8, that Yahshua as a son, over his own house, whose house that we are, if we hold fast unto the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now let's go and read what is fresh on our minds, Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6 to 8, where it says that, for unto us a child is born. This is a present tense verb. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Okay, let's see it back up again and add a word here. For his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty Father Yahweh, as the Everlasting Father. For the Yahshua. Now it's actually saying that this son that sits upon his throne here on earth, he's called Wonderful, if you want to put it that way, the way the Bible puts it, comma. He's called Counselor, and he's called the Mighty Yahweh, whereas his Father in Heaven is called the Almighty. And he's also called the Everlasting Father. And then it says, comma, as the Prince of Peace. And we know Yahshua has that title here on earth, as the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of the David. It is right there. Upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, for the zeal of the Yahshua of the host, the Son of Yahweh, will perform this. For the Yahshua sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. It says, Lord, here, sent a word. The content is referring to the Father, for the Yahweh has sent a word into Jacob, and the word hath lighted upon Israel. Israel is the name you get when you become purified, when you have been forgiven and you have overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you receive Yahshua's name, then it means that you have earned the sacred, purified name of Israel, like Jacob did, and he did wrestle with the angel all night. Okay, let us go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left unto us of the entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, we're saying that whoever wrote the Hebrews, and we're saying that Paul is talking here, for unto us it was the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua preached as well as unto them. Now you see, I put that faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua in the place of that one word gospel. And so instead of saying for unto us was the gospel preached, you don't know what the gospel means. But if you put the words that what it means, other than it means, it paints a whole different picture. For unto us was the plan of the salvation, faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, preached unto the Israelites coming out of Egypt, as well as unto them. But the word priest did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith and them that heard it. For we which have believed, this is Paul talking to those Gentiles, Hebrews, for we which have believed do enter into. Well, actually, he's talking to the Hebrews. He's talking to the Jewish people here. For the Paul, for we which have believed. Paul is speaking for himself as well. At one time, Paul did not believe. He persecuted those that did believe. But he had a miracle happen to him, and Yahshua converted him on their way to Damascus. And Paul then is telling his Hebrew brethren, for we which have believed is a past tense adverb, do not enter in, enter into rest. Let's do that again. For we which have believed do enter into the rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although their works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And Yahweh did rest the seventh day from all his works. For in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they unto whom it was first preached entered not in because of the unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in the David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's read that seventh verse again. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, back there 1,000 years ago, he's talking about from the cross on back. David came on the scene 1010 B.C., 1,010 years B.C., and ruled for 40 years until 970 B.C. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, hear the voice of Yahshua speaking again, harden not your hearts. For if the Yahshua had given them rest, and which he did, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day?
No.
There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of Yahweh. So the Sabbath day, when you have a Sabbath day appointed unto you as the day of rest unto the people of Yahweh. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as Yahweh did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest at any time, lest any man, let's go read that verse 11 again. Let us labor therefore for the entering into that rest of the seventh day Sabbath, and any holy day that has the title of the word Sabbath. That's the new moon Sabbath, that's the Pentecost Sabbath, that's the Day of Atonement Sabbath, and that's the Day of Atonement comes in 10 days from now. And any man, and that's the new moon Sabbath, that's the new moon we're having today. Any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So if you say I believe but you don't practice it, well then you're setting the example of being an unbeliever, and you're fallen. You have fallen. For the word of Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Yahshua, that is passed into the heavens, Yahshua, the Son of the Yahweh, let us hold fast our profession. Alright, let us hold fast unto it now. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our enemies. So let's read that with a positive touch. For we have an high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our enemies. But it was and all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of the grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That ends Hebrews chapter 4. For every high priest taken, chapter 5, verse 1, from among men, let's read that again, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things pertaining unto the Yahweh the Father, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Brother, there's only one high priest been ordained here in the New Testament for the last 2,000 years, and that's Yahshua. Verse 2, Hebrews chapter 5. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, but that he himself also is compassed with the infirmity? And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sin. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of the Yahweh, as was Aaron. So also Yahshua glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee.
Okay.
So where's another place that it says about Yahshua being begotten? All right. I have a cross reference here of Psalms 2:7. I don't know if I can get to that quickly. Alright, it says, we'll read it, but can't get to it real quick. I will declare the decree that Yahshua has said unto me. The Yahweh has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Okay. And then I go to Hebrews, back to Hebrews 5:5. And then, I don't know why they left out John 3:16-17. I don't know why they left that out for cross reference. To me, that would be the most important one in the whole Bible. On that, John 3:16, for the Yahweh, the Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For the Yahweh the Father sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that he but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of the Father. Let's see what I mean. That's verse 18, John 3. Okay, it says back in Hebrews 5:6, and it said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of this verse, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with a strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and who was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So though Yahshua was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that which he suffered. And who taught him this obedience? His mother Mary, while he was growing up here on earth, and being made to perfect, and his father Joseph, and being made perfect, he became the author of the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Call of the Yahweh as a high priest, at the order of the Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of the hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of the Father Yahweh, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth unto them that are of the full age, even those who by the reason of the use have their senses exercised for the discerning both good and evil. Okay. into chapter 5. Let's go on into chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Yahshua, let us go on unto perfection. Alright, now here we're told, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of the repentance from the dead works and of the faith and the blood of the animal toward Yahweh, of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of the hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. And this will we do if the Yahweh permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of the Yahweh and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away for the renewing unto themselves again repentance, seeing that they crucify unto themselves the Son of the Father Yahweh afresh and put him unto an open shame. This is exactly what happened at Kermit. Brother Stubby Johnson, as the angel of the seventh candlestick of later said the Adventist Church. In other words, he was a prophet with inspiration in charge of the third feeding pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church with the name Gilead Center. And Brother Johnson fulfilled exactly what I just read to you here in verse 6 of chapter 6. If they shall fall away for the renewing them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified unto themselves the Son of the Father Yahweh afresh and put him to an open shame. Brother Johnson was given the creation calendar to restore the sanctuary in 1970. All the feast days, the new moon, and we're keeping that new moon today according to his creation calendar that he published in 1970. And today is the new moon Sabbath. And yet Brother Johnson fell away from it. That's why we succeed him in 2003. Yahweh was completely through with Brothers by then. For the earth, verse 7, chapter 6 of Hebrews, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from the Yahweh. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Well, that's what Brother Johnson ended up when he apostatized from the creation calendar and the date of 2002, and that's what he suffered right there. He brought forth thorns and briars, and that's what cut him off. But beloved, we are persuaded better things than you, and things that accompany salvation. Okay, now these things accompany salvation. Our key word in this whole reading of the Hebrews is the word salvation. Though we thus speak, for Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of the love which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered unto the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence unto the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through that faith and patience inherit the promises. For when the Yahweh made promise unto Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. But all multiplication then would add up to 144,000. When they come forth, they'll be added unto the house of David that we are in charge of. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men rarely swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is unto them an end of all strife. When Yahweh willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by the two immutable things in which it is impossible for Yahweh to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for the refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Yahshua made, and high priest forever after the order of the Melchizedek. Okay, that's the end of Hebrews chapter 6. And we are getting it pretty well along in this hour. So it says in chapter 7, verse 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, Yahweh, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the king and blessed him, unto whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. There it is. First then, by interpretation, king of the righteousness. Well, that's what Yahshua said. He has that same title today. He's king of righteousness. And after that also king of Salem. Okay. And then David, he follows on later on as the king of Salem, adding a new part to that word Salem, calling it Jeru, hey, Yahu, or Yahweh, and then making it Yahrushalem, which put Yahweh's first name in the front of the word Salem, and David calls it Jerusalem, which is the king of peace. So Yahshua is the king of peace, as well as Melchizedek. He was without father, without mother. Okay. So Yahshua was born on this earth without an earthly father. He had a heavenly father. That's what he was born of. And so you can say Yahshua, like Melchizedek, was without mother, without descent, without the father, having neither beginning of the days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of the Yahweh, that bideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. And as Elijah David in charge of this kingdom of David today, I'm under the same law, the same commandment. And I do take tithes from those that come to join the kingdom and pay their tithes. I take their tithes. And I use it for the gospel work, or the teaching of the Son of the Salvation, the Brother of the Everlasting Covenant, unto those that are believers. As their brethren go, they come out of the loins of Abraham. Just read that verse 5 again. And brother, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according unto the law. And you can read about that full law there in the Malachi chapter 3. That is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham, that he whose descent is not counted from them received tithe of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithe, but there he receiveth them. Of whom it is witnessed that he liveth, as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithe, paid tithes in Abraham. Okay. For he was yet in the loins of his father when the Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it, or you might use it, for with it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made as a necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth unto another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Yeshua, son of Yahweh, sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of the Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Okay. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. So we had a Melchizedek in the Old Testament that was a high priest over the animal sacrifices. And we have a typical Melchizedek, I share that he has the power over the spirit of the law. And that's his blood. His blood. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Melchizedek, in Abraham's day, he also was minister of the blood of the animal. But Yahshua, being the antithetical Melchizedek of the New Testament, he's the minister of his own blood. This is the first high priest ever that was given unto men here on earth, that was a high priest and used his own blood. But there's really a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect but the bringing in of a better whole dead. So the law of the animal sacrifice, it made nothing perfect but the bringing in of a better hope, and that's the blood of the high priest himself. Yahshua was in charge of the blood and he had to go through the death on the cross to obtain that, by the which we draw nigh unto the Father. This is the only way you can draw nigh unto the Father, is through the blood of the Yahshua. And you have to do it at his appointed times in the sanctuary. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath. Okay. For those priests of the old covenant was made without an oath. But this with an oath, by him that saith unto him, for the Yahshua swear and will not repent. That order, for the Yahweh swear, the Father, and will not repent. Thou art a priest, his son, Yahshua, forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Only you have your blood, that you minister in the place of Melchizedek of the old covenant, that ministered the animal's blood. By so much was Yahshua made a surety of a better testament. So the blood of Yahshua was what made it a better surety. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Okay. Therefore he is able also to save them unto the uttermost that come unto the Father by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's who we are, the house of David. When we obtained to that house at the 2002 Kermit, Texas, the house of David did, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin, and then for the people. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. That's the end of chapter 7. And this is the end of our study for this hour. We're going to close now with a song.